No, you could have stopped after I can't. I just can't.
You know what?
Can't what? I can't.
You know what? Here's the truth. Here's the reality. I probably can.
But I can't.
But I won't.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man, James Tapeleg Graylian, and I discuss an awkward month of Avalanche games, two gorgeous overtime goals, all-star choices, and Jay fulfills his life goals by providing some of the smokiest hot takes ever on the show. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 134 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tapeleg Graylian, and I'm Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. Partner, what is happening?
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
That's it?
That's all I got right now is oh, man.
I was waiting for you to finish, but that was part like...
Yeah, that's all I got right now. Oh, man.
It could go either way.
So much Avs hockey, so much stuff going on. And, you know, you and I probably spent like an hour 20 chatting before the show.
Just chatting.
What's going on, y'all?
Everything.
Yeah.
Gesturing with your hands everywhere. That's mm-hmm. what's going on.
Sneezing, the whole deal.
I was just thinking it's the, what was the SNL character again? What was his name? This show's got everything.
Oh, what's his name? Stefan.
Stefan. Yeah. This show has everything.
The show has everything. COVID breaks, Kim Chickens.
All-star game. Kim Chicken, of course. Stars of the week. Injuries. Outrage. Yeah.
It's got everything.
Yeah.
A lot less outrage, but you know. Well, I'm okay with that.
There's always time for outrage. That's how we roll.
Is it? Because I'll turn this thing right around right now. I'm not here for the outrage. I'm here to have a good freaking time.
Shortest show ever. All right. We have important business to take care of first, though.
We do. This is episode 134 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Yours, mine, and Jay's. Source for almost everything Avalanche. Almost.
Actually, yeah, it is. It's our home.
Yeah.
Our meaning. We'll talk about that later. Yep.
So, jersey numbers.
I looked at this list. I have confidence here that I think you're going to be good here.
Well, I mean, like Brian Fjord, was he a Swedish player?
Who's that?
Brian Ford.
Oh, there he is.
Fjord. Come on, stay with me.
I was like, wait, I don't remember that name.
No, there's, I mean, just about everybody here is pronounceable except Milinkov.
I'd say Milnikov.
Sergei Milnikov from 1990. So
is that the Claude Julien we know?
I was wondering the same thing. There's Claude Julien in 1985, and that seems about the right age range.
I don't see why not. But yeah, Pierre Lacroix screwed that all up for us. But
true,
yeah, that ruined our whole reputation of knowing everything.
Daniel Winnick,
Carl Winnick.
Yep, the Soderberg,
Large Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Still playing. I saw his name. He scored a goal the other night in Chicago. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot he's in Chicago now. I mean, I didn't forget he was in Chicago, but I forgot he was still playing.
I forgot he was in Chicago until you just mentioned it. Kurt Sauer. I don't know.
He's with the Avs for a while. I'm going to click on the link.
Yeah, 04 to what? 06?
Yeah, 08. Watch. 08. I was just trying to see like how many games he played for the Avs, and it was 153. Almost two full seasons, right?
153, yeah, but
yeah. Business.
Oh, why are you giving me an ad? Seriously?
I saw that too. Sorry. This is our best resource, and sometimes you got to go through ads, but
yeah.
Yeah, and then
never a full season? Is that? No,
really not even close, but I do have one of his game-worns from 05-06 season, mm-hmm. alternate burgundy as well. Well, that was the alternate back then, right? But the jersey that you and I and everybody love so much.
Oh, I love that jersey.
With the 10th patch on it. So,
you know who doesn't love that jersey, of course, is New York Rangers fans, because they feel like it's derivative.
Well, yeah, they can feel that way if they want, but it's more of a sign of, you know, respect than anything else. So maybe they'll get over it. Maybe they won't.
Maybe.
It's their choice.
I liked it. I still like it. Current player, Jacob McDonald.
There we go.
So yeah, that's, you know, those are the names. I mean, there's a few more in there. Gord Donnelly. Lee Norwood was the first one listed from 81-82.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I think McDonald's wearing 26 now. He might have started with 34. I think he made that switch like last year, the year before. There's a bunch of game worn jerseys with including both of those numbers. So
I wonder why he would switch to 30 or 26.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like, it made sense for obviously Stastny.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He's actually close to coming back, which is nice too. The Avs could always use a little depth.
I'm looking forward to the next one because it's a goalie number.
So. Oh, we're gonna have some fun with that.
Oh yeah, I've got a couple of 35s.
Oh, that's right, you do.
I do. Oh yeah. But we'll you know, obviously that's the future, and we're talking about right now. We're talking about now in the past. We're talking about episode 34. 134.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Actually, and they just finished. I think last night was game 34 for the Avs too. So we're kind of in sync, which is really cool. We like that.
Right now, it's just insane to me how few games, like, their tie. Last night actually was 35, according to the NHL
stats. Oh, was it? Oh, okay. My fault. Yeah.
There are one, two, three, four. No, three teams with 34 games played.
Yep.
Ottawa has 31, and the Islanders have 30. Holy cow.
That's. I guess when you look at it from a whatever perspective, you're like, oh, it's not that far away. Or not that far apart, but when you think about all the logistics and the travel and the facilities that go into that stuff, that makes it tough too.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's crazy.
Well, and right now they basically have six games in hand over for Anaheim, who has played the most.
Six games can be like 3 weeks, well, maybe like two and a half weeks, but still.
Yeah. No, that's a lot of games. And yet still, right now in the standings, overall in the league with points wise, they are fifth.
Yeah.
And win percentage wise, points percentage wise, they're third. Pretty crazy.
Really? Yeah. And they have games in hand and on almost everybody. So they've got a chance to kind of catch up with that too.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we'll see how that goes. But man, we can start with just being home. I guess there's road warriors. I guess you can call the Avs home warriors, or doing what they're supposed to do at home.
Mm-hmm.
But winning 13 straight home games is something you don't see from, it's not historic quite yet, but man, that's pretty cool. Well, think about it too. They have 41 regular season home games. They've won 13 straight. I mean, that's good. I'm no expert, but I'm going to go ahead and include my first hot take of the show and say that's good.
Whoa. Yeah, simmer down there, big guy.
I know.
Settle down.
I just thought I'd just throw that out.
Woo! Get out of that armchair, Mr. General Manager. Holy cow.
It's all downhill from here. Man, that was gutsy. I'm glad to get that out of the way.
No, I'm glad you did too. It's not just good. It's pretty good. That was your words.
Super hot. I didn't say pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good's a whole nother level.
I think you said pretty good. I think you said amazingly awesome.
Yeah.
And they will never lose again. I think I heard that. Didn't I hear that from you?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'll take it to Twitter. We'll find out. But yeah, that's what you're supposed to do at home. But yeah, 13 straight, no matter how you cut it, is some pretty good work. James and I talked on our last show how it had been a while since the Avs had to kind of grind out some victories and things like that. They had just scored a ton of goals. And then the next two games after our first show kind of were grinded out games, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, one of those 13 straight games was against the Florida Panthers on December 12th, 3-2 win. It was the Andrei Burakovsky show. He scored all three goals for the Avs. Pretty strong performance there. Mikko Rantanen had an assist on all three. No Landeskog, Kadri, or Barkov for that game. So it was what it was. It wasn't the best matchup those two really good hockey teams could have, but, it was
Florida's tops in the league overall right now.
Yep.
They're 26-7-5, and they got blown out by Ottawa not that long ago, which was pretty surprising. But holy cow, 50
goals in their last eight games. If I remember reading that right, that's That's good.
They are tops in goal differential.
Yep.
They are tops in points point percentage. Obviously, they're tops in goals for. Right behind them in goals for and in differential is the Avalanche.
Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's there's some good hockey teams out there right now playing some really good hockey. So there's that. Right after that game, Devon Taves was named the NHL's third star of the week. There were still good things to come from him as we move forward. And I'll include another hot take with Devon Taves here in a minute. I'm sensing a theme here.
Anticipation.
Hot takes. So stick around for hot takes. Fire. Jonas Johansson was claimed off waivers by ironically the Florida Panthers right after that game as well. That also meant and was luckily when Pavel Francouz was ready to go. So he's back. So
yeah, that was the whole point of waiving him in the first place. Yeah.
That's right. So they were trying to make that move down to the minors and he was claimed. I don't know if he's played since then, but that is what it is. So.
I don't know either, but I know that the Panthers, because they had Bobrovsky.
Yes, sir.
And Spencer Knight. And I believe they wanted to send Spencer Knight down to the AHL for a little bit. Just to, work on his game a little. He was that standout star of last year's playoffs for the Panthers.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing, especially, coming right out of college. There's a lot of expectations with that, trying to carry it. So Johansson may have been part of that and then maybe, swap back when Spencer Knight was ready. But I have not been watching the Panthers very much, but I did see that I believe it was like a 7-1, 7-2 win over the Stars the other night, which thank you very much.
Also coached by former Av and one of my favorite Avalanche of all time, Andrew Brunette. Yeah.
Yep.
So we love the whole
end of Quenneville. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. We never talked about that, but. I don't think there was that much to be said either.
Okay. Well, that's not really in our wheelhouse, obviously.
No, it's definitely not.
But also it's, one of those things where, we're never going to know everything that, that happened. And, I will be a little surprised if we see Quenneville back behind a bench anytime soon, if ever.
Yeah. It's too bad. One of the best coaches in NHL history, considering the stats, but, kind of unfortunate. So, there's that. But speaking of, there's a theme in the show as well. One of the Avalanche gets named to the NHL's three stars of the week, and then they go out with COVID. So, you wouldn't think that would happen twice in about a month's time. But yeah, it has. So the first time that happened, Devon Taves missed the game against the Rangers with COVID, mildly symptomatic at the time. Since he had symptoms, means he was going to have to be out the next 10 days. But the Avs still play well and still look good in a really, really good game against the Rangers. I mean, two really strong hockey teams that have been playing good at the time. And the Avs came out on the right end of those two games. So it's always fun against those East Coast teams. There was a nice heavyweight bout between Curtis McDermott and Ryan Reeves as well. You don't see those very often in the NHL, so I thought I'd put a note about it. But yeah, those are two big boys agreeing to punch each other in the face.
Which was the whole point of the Rangers picking up Ryan Reeves in the first place. They really wanted something that was going to simmer down. What's his butt from Wilson from the Capitals.
Yeah.
And if you have Ryan Reeves on your bench, you're not expecting him to score a lot of goals. That's not his point.
No.
And if you're on a team facing Ryan Reeves and you're going to square up, you've made life choices. That's the best way I can put it. You have made decisions. This is what's going to happen.
I saw the other day, you chose chaos is what you chose. But Ryan Reeves has his brand and he does what he does and he doesn't hide it. And he's someone that can't be ignored. And I think he takes some pride in that and good on him for still staying in the league.
Yeah, there are not many pure bruisers out there. I mean, if you can't skate, you're not going to be out there. But yeah, I think that John Scott? That was kind of the exclamation mark. That was the thing that said, okay, we're really phasing this out. And, of course the John Scott story being that, the biggest moments being that he was the MVP of the All-Star game.
He was the guy. That's right.
By a mile.
Yeah. We'll talk about All-Star stuff too. Less and less room for those guys on NHL rosters. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But then we move on to December 16th and a month. Oh boy, this was a month ago. It seems like, 3 or 4 months ago? Yeah. But how should this forever be known in Avalanche history? Because it was one of the strangest, I think, game days we've ever seen.
Yeah. I can't remember the name right now of the Nashville arena, but I want to call it the Petri Dish.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I think it's Bridgestone, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just crazy day. There was a red flag the day before. The Avs called up defenseman Jordan Gross, and it was like, why, how, who, you know, things like that. Then things became clearer as the Avalanche started to announce what was going on. Burakovsky had tested positive on Wednesday. JT Compher tested positive on Thursday. And then it was announced earlier in that game day that those two would be out. And so you think like, okay, you know, all right, that's how it's going to be. Then things got even crazier. And I don't know. I think the NHL has tried to make sure that this hasn't happened since, but it was just so strange where Darcy Kuemper, just before game time, and I'm not talking like, you know, at 2 hours, I'm talking like, I don't know, just before game time, literally, Darcy Kuemper and Cale Makard both tested positive. They weren't going to be allowed to play. Jack Johnson missed about the first half of the first period because they were waiting for test results. There's an emergency goaltender on the bench. The Avalanche have, was it 16 skaters for this game or something? Mm. I mean, let's see, between cap issues, rules, injuries, the guys were hurt as well. And the time the Avs had taken with getting guys tested, because they show up at the rink at 4 or 4:30, depending on which bus they take. 10 forward, 6 defensemen, an emergency backup goaltender, and Franzos. And it was just like, it was just pure madness. And thank you for putting your note in our notes. And it was like, I believe it was the Avs that were given the choice since they were more impacted. But I guess that day, though, because the Predators had that many guys out with COVID as well.
Yeah, that they were given the option as to whether or not they would play the game. And they chose to play the game, I was watching from work,
right?
And watching this all unfold, I just kept thinking, how is that the right decision?
Yeah.
You know, and boy, a packed arena.
Yeah, there's that too.
You know, yeah, the Petri dish. And this was all still probably more Delta variant than Omicron at this point.
Could be so just the beginning. I don't know. Just,
yeah.
Whoever thought we'd be like, I don't know, 5 years ago on our show, we'd be talking about some kind of a global pandemic and, you know, which strand each player had. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But
I can't learn any more Latin numbers. I mean, or Greek, Latin. I don't even know.
It's one of the two. Yeah. We just know it's not good, right? But I think they gave the Avs the choice. And I think what they said, and it's kind of what athletes, the mindset that the athletes are in, like, we're here. We're already dressed. We have enough to play. We might as well just do it rather than, you know, send everybody home from the arena and say we're not going to play. So, you know, it was what it was. And the Avalanche end up losing that game 5-2 and, you know, whatever. So then it was just trying to figure out what's going to happen next. And I think
when you were talking about the goaltending, I was also thinking about, of course, what happened up in Toronto I believe it was.
Yep.
Same thing. They had to get, they had the emergency backup on and then they had to bring in. Yeah. And that was injury, if I remember correctly.
It was injury. I think Kuemper he must have taken a shot up high during the morning skate and they held him out for a game or two, probably just precautionary, but
he tore his butt. He tore his butt. So,
That's the upper body, right? Where does the upper body begin and the lower body?
That was a little Ted Lasso reference there.
It's all
tore his butt.
So I think the Avs had a couple days off anyway in between those two. And then it was announced on the 17th that the Avalanche season would be paused till at least Christmas. And then when it came Christmas, there were still so many guys out. The Avalanche season was again postponed until January 2nd. So. It was a nice break to get everybody well and to get everybody back. And it seems like the, I guess, fair and equitable thing to do by the league. But it's on one hand, I think it's made things better. So, you know, not as many players on your team or opposing teams get it. But there's also been some criticism to the league as far as how that goes. As far as if I'm asymptomatic and all the people on the team are at least vaccinated, if not boosted, why can't I just play with them? And it's I don't know, I guess it's a microcosm of the reality that we're all in right now.
Yeah. And I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how sports leagues adapt or, you know, any kind of thing like this adapts. In my world, my regular day-to-day in the theater world, we're dealing with this a lot. And yeah, Broadway shows, regular shows, tours, they're having to shut down and lose shows and then come back. And it's difficult. I was really stunned that we made it through an entire month of the Nutcracker shows without a shutdown. I really thought that, you know, we would, especially with what was happening in the greater world. And yet we made it, which was really surprising. Yeah. The big impact, of course, of all this shutdown was, and part of it, I'm sure being business decision and part of it being safety decision, was the NHL pulling out of the Olympics.
That's right.
So no NHL players that are, you know, that are going to the Olympics. I know a few were like, well, if I want to go to the Olympics, I should be able to go to the Olympics. Like, well, yeah.
Brad Marchand,
you can, yep.
Yeah. Brad Marchand was probably the most vocal with that.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine. Go for it. You're not going to be a Bruin anymore, but you know, hey, there you go. That's your call, buddy.
Go for it.
You have fun. You know, Brad Marchand, not one normally to stir up controversy. That's for sure.
That's not the first person people ask for their opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, let me ask you for your.
Let me ask you a simple question.
They'll ask him for his opinion. They know what they're going to get. They're going to get, you know, let me go ask the guy who's licked people on the ice, you know, for his opinion. Okay, that'll be good.
Those are truly hot takes.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
That was so very not hot. There was nothing hot about that.
Hot takes equal clicks. Oh, so. Yeah, it's just kind of a, you know, I'm in education and it's the same things.
I wonder if like we're going to start seeing like if leagues are going to say, okay, you know what, we're going to play three groups of, you know, three thirds of the season. We're going to do a third and then take a week off and then a third and a week off, a third and a week off.
I think education can use a little of that right now. But
I think a lot of places could use that.
That's right just now, my opinion. Yeah, I wonder. The thing is, though, too, is that there's several teams that are on their, I don't know a better term besides like COVID break. There's several teams that are on their COVID break right now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem as big of a deal because it's not impacting our team quite as much as it was, which is good, but it's still moving around the league and things are complicated.
You it's so hard to control where, you know, I think that the NHL and the hockey playing, you know, the professional hockey players are going to have more control over some of those things and where they move and where they go than a lot of places do. And there's still not, you know, there's not 100% answer if there was. So I'm surprised. I did see a clip. I don't know if you saw this or not. Apparently there's only one player that isn't vaccinated in the NHL. And he was given some grief on the ice. And got chirped about it.
I know this last name.
Bertuzzi.
That's right.
And I guess one of the players like, just get vaccinated.
Yeah. you talk to any Avalanche fan, we're not going to have any empathy for anybody with that last name, period.
That last name sounds like that last name is it could be a word scramble of those letters.
We'll find that, it.
Yeah.
Or like, we'll totally find it. No, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Oh, sheesh. What a time to be alive, you know? Let's see. So the Avs came back on January 2nd, beat the Ducks 4-2. And then on the 4th, like the Avs are up 2-0 in the first. And it was one of those games where I think the Avs just naturally just thought it was going to be kind of a simple game, whatever. Suddenly they're down 3-2. They tie it up with 11:44 in the third period. And Cale Makar, 2:38 into overtime. I know you don't spend a whole lot of time on Twitter for all the right reasons, but my timeline exploded. And there was only a few games that night, which helped. And it was one of the ESPN Plus games, which I think helped too. I think a lot more people can watch this goal by a 22-year-old defenseman during overtime was unreal.
Yeah.
And it was just, I think everybody's seen it several times. I'll post a link to it. I'll post a link to the YouTube video, but I'll show you my face. It was like, this is the face. I just got my hands on my head. And my wife was sitting next to me on the other side of the couch. And I was like, what did he just do? It was unbelievable.
That was a hell of a goal.
Oh man.
Yeah. The amount of this is, that was the kind of thing that you really hoped 3-on-3 would turn into.
Oh, totally.
And not this whole, we're puck just going to keep the puck. Yeah. We're going to pass it back and forth. We're going to skate around and find. This was the space that 3-on-3 was supposed to open up and have this kind of creativity.
Did you see the video of Kevin Weeks? They had a video. They had a camera behind him as they were calling it, and he kind of did what I did. He stood up and just kind of turned around, and I love his enthusiasm because he's obviously played a lot. Like, he knows the game, and when you can get somebody who knows the game like Kevin Weeks does excited like that, you know something pretty cool has just happened.
You know that he's very excited about it. You know that there's also just a little part of him that's going, I'm glad that didn't happen to me.
That was not me. But the thing was, too, it's like, a couple of things. It was Kirby Doc that Makar turned kind of inside out. And there was a fight. Was it this game? Or I think it was this game. You know, there's still some feelings toward Gabriel Landeskog and his hit on Doc opening night that got Landeskog suspended. So there was still some feelings there or whatever. But this was, you know, you got that move, the initial kind of spin move that he just turned Doc inside out. Doc was tired anyways at the end of a shift. But then he goes, you know, you got potential Hall of Famer goaltender. Well, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, right? Oh, yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, yeah.
And he just turns him inside out. He just, which made it even better. This wasn't some, you know, backup goaltender or whatever. This was one of the top goaltenders in the league. And he made him look silly. And that just made it.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to talk stuff here either. I'm just, this is what was there. And it was just, man, it was cool. And it was cool just to watch.
You just get that impression that, like, Fleury saw this coming.
Yeah.
Saw the turn, was like, okay, here we go. I just got to make this. Yeah. What just happened? Like, it was like, it just went from, okay, that was a move, to,
wow. That escalated quickly. But it kind of set the hockey world on fire a little bit. And it's cool to, for those people that may not watch Makar play game in, game out, it was still just as exciting, if not more, because it was just so cool. But,
watching last night with the with that Arizona Coyotes game, there were a couple times with Makar where he'd get the puck and he'd start to move towards the net, and you sit forward. You know that something could happen right now.
And you think, you know what reminded me of Makar's goal? I guess we see goals like this fairly often from the Avs, right? Especially from Nathan MacKinnon. Hmm. If you watch a replay of Nathan MacKinnon's 5-on, I think it was a 5-on-4 at that point, or was it a 5-on-3? I think it was a 5-on-4 at the first goal of the game. Like, a kind of a very similar move where it's almost Matt Duchene. Remember when Matt Duchene, we talked about this on the show pivot. A lot.
The pivot.
The quick pivot, but I think Makar and MacKinnon do it way better just because they're just more skilled. And I'm not trying to bury Matt Duchene. When Duchene scores against the Avs, I'm like, duh, but still.
Matt Duchene's pivot was a 90-degree pivot. Right. He would be going one direction and he'd do a hard left or a hard right.
Right.
That was his pivot. This was 180 degrees. This was, I'm going to drag you around, get space. And, you know, because he was that right, you know, Cale Makar was that right-handed shot. Yeah. You know, he goes from protecting the puck to bringing it around to the, you know, close to the center of the ice where the defenseman's side is, but he already knows that he's left him behind.
My hand on my face. I'm just like, it was just awesome. And MacKinnon's goal reminded me of it last night, but we see MacKinnon do that all the time. The hockey world has seen MacKinnon do that all the time. So I dare to say we're kind of used to it, but on that stage on national television, you know, original six team Hall of Fame goaltender, just awesome stuff. If it hadn't gone in, we're not talking about it right now.
No, that's true.
But it went in and it was freaking outstanding.
Yeah.
So, yes, all hail Kale.
And it's a game winner.
It's a game. And man, it was that and more. It was something that I think a lot of Avs fans are going to remember for a very long time for all the best reasons. So,
there was, I sent this to you. I wanted to bring it up because, you know, if you want, there's the other Kale that leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. And that would be the Kale, that would be the salad Kale. But, you want to talk about being thrown under the bus also. So Bobby Clark of the Flyers was talking about Ron Hextall, and because Ron Hextall is going, you know, with the Penguins now.
Yeah.
And you know, bitter rivals. And he was like, you know, uh, He went out and got, I forget who they got. He was like, we wanted Makar.
I think it was Nolan Patrick or something like that.
Yeah. And isn't Nolan Patrick already gone?
Oh, yeah. Like, who now? Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just, oh,
it's easy to say now though, too.
And he's like, we wanted Makar. Okay.
Of course you did.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, that was some bust throwing under right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. That timing's interesting. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was just like, wow, that is.
But yeah, still.
And all I could think was, yeah, you did. Yeah. You wanted him. You didn't get him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't get him.
Thanks for letting us know. Like we were all wondering. Whatever, like anything can come good out of that one.
Oh my God, he just got so thrown under the bus. It was hilarious.
You don't see that.
And where are the Flyers? 25th in the league right now. Yeah, so totally. Speaking of,
it's one of those rare times in hockey where when they ask Cale Makar after the game, you know, take me through that. He always talks about, well, lucky. Like you just want one time to Cale Makar just be like, just go off. Just be like, man, that was Kirby Doc. We all know, you know, I'm glad he's okay, but he's the dude that Landy just plastered to the boards. Like, whatever, I'm going to use him. You all saw it. Like, what do you think? I'm some slouch? I'm no slouch. You watched it. You make your own decisions. But no, he's going to do the hockey thing, especially him. He's so quiet and humble. Although last night we got to see a little pest Kale. Did you see him when he hit?
Oh.
I forgot who the Coyotes guy was, but
it wasn't even that big of a hit. It was more like rubbing out along the boards.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And it was a fun moment. Cause it's like, okay, here's this. It's not like Cale Makar is like when you see him on the ice compared to everybody else, he's just like this skinny, gangly kind of guy.
Quiet, humble.
Well, just, I mean, physically he is not intimidating at all. He just knocks a guy on his keister and he's just like, and just kind of skates off.
And I think he stared him. I'm looking up who it was because he's normally a big pest anyway.
Oh, it was Roussel.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Dominic Roussel.
Antoine Roussel.
Yeah.
Who was a big pest with the Stars for so long.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, and I believe, wasn't he with Vancouver also for a bit?
I want to say there was another pest there too. It's one. Well, here. I have it right here. Let's click and find out. But still, yeah,
I'm thinking it was Dallas, interesting. Vancouver, yeah.
They had a different view of that as well. Or once Makar, yeah, Dallas, Vancouver, Arizona. Great call. I never doubted you, but they showed.
I doubted me a lot.
I think Roussel was going back to the bench and he kind of looked over at Makar and they showed Makar on the bench just looking at him and nodding his head. But I like that Makar too. Pest Makar. Yeah. Let's go. Bring a little bit of everything, young man.
Well, let's just make sure that, you know, like, I mean, it's never going to happen. This is never going to happen. But when you said Pest Makar, my thought was, all right, but, you know, don't let that become your game.
Because,
you know, it's like, what is Sean Avery? Okay. Biggest pest. There was that rule where you can't just sit there and face the goaltender and wave your stick. It's a Sean Avery rule. And of course it's about one of the crappiest, you know, dumbest things.
Yeah.
But the thing with Sean Avery that I found frustrating was when he stopped being that jerk, he could play hockey.
Yeah.
He was a good hockey player when he wanted to be a good hockey player. And all he did, because that was what his game was, you know, was being that jerk. Brad Marchand, he's a really good hockey player.
Really good.
He's not remembered unless it's Boston. He's not really thought of as a good hockey player. He's thought of as a jerk.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I have no question at all that will never be Cale Makar. But, you know, skate your game, buddy. Skate your game. Knock a guy on his keister and stand up for yourself.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think leaders like Landeskog and EJ would allow that to happen with Cale, but I'm sure they like to see it every once in a while too.
Oh yeah, and they don't have to. You know, I believe that it was that Roussel and Landy were yapping at each other too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, taking the heat off of Cale.
Perfect. I think it was Landy was on the ice during that, if I remember this correctly, and he knocks him down and Landeskog is literally right there.
Mm-hmm.
After Roussel gets Roussel did the little I'm falling, my stick might hit you in the head. It looked like he was trying a little bit of that, but I think I think Landy came over and just rubbed shoulders with him and said, yeah, that's my guy. You got something more to say? We can talk about it.
That is fun hockey.
That's like Letterkenny. I'm come talk to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff. So good stuff. Oh man, that was awesome. I'm still excited. And then next game, the Avs were down early in the game. This is a little theme they've got going. They like getting down and then just coming back. It's just one of those fun things. So the Avs at Pepsi Center, I believe, were down 1:56 into the game. And then they scored 7 straight goals. It was the 7th game in 30 games total in the season that they had scored 7 or more goals, which is crazy. Landeskog, 4th career hat trick, and McKinnon a goal, and, you know, ho-hum forces. So it's McKinnon starting to score goals again, which the whole league is like, oh, great. This is going to be fun.
Yep.
I'd say probably the best game of besides the game in Chicago was the game on the game of the podcast, we'll call it, January 8th against the Leafs. Two awesome hockey teams that are just, yeah, the Leafs are tough, man. It's some good hockey against them. Who I mentioned before, Devon Taves with the game winner, Rantanen 4 assists. The Avs had 49 shots on goal. Third period was one of the best periods of hockey they've played all season long. McKinnon had, you know, only 12 shots on net. It's just crazy. But the Avs came back from 3-0 and 4-1 deficits to beat the Leafs in overtime. And, you know, the roof blew off Ball Arena, which is cool.
That Taves goal was so similar to Makar's, like from the same place. You know, maybe not quite as glorious, but boy, it had that same feel. I kind of felt like, yeah, you okay, buddy, you can do that. All right, now it's my turn.
Yeah, and, give and go with Rantanen, just pretty, just great hockey to watch. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for my Devon Taves hot take?
Yes. All right.
Do we need to pause?
Strap it in. Here we go.
Put on your seatbelt. So Taves still hasn't played 200 career games in the NHL, which is just ridiculous. And I'm not sure if this is because he's playing with Cale Makar or what. But I'm ready to say that Devon Taves is one of the top 5 defensemen in Avalanche history.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm.
Whoa!
If I could drop this mic, I would drop it.
Whoa.
I don't know why I dropped the mic, but
okay. So
I'm going through names in my head, kind of like where you might be right now. I'm just trying to figure out, like, okay, I'm talking like most complete, right? And just because I think the Avs have had some really great offensive defenders and some really great stay-at-home defensemen, but I think Taves is one of the best all-around overall defensemen the Avs have ever had. So,
all right,
names at me. What do you got? Like,
well, of course, Blake.
Okay, Rob Blake comes to mind. Absolutely. And I think he's still above Taves, obviously. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
I think Ray Bourque tended to do both, mm-hmm. right? So, plus he's Ray Bourque. I mean, he's a legend.
He's Ray Bourque, but he was at the end of his career when he was here, obviously. So we were going to see the dazzle. Yeah, you know,
still a big part and still just, you know, solid defenseman on both ends of the ice, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought of Adam Foote. Adam Foote was nowhere near the offensive threat that Taves, I think, can be.
Yeah.
And I also thought of Sandis Ellis-Lynch. Okay. He was great offensively, but I don't think he was known at all for his defense, right?
Right.
He does. He was doing what Cale Makar does. And what the thing about Taves is he does both.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can get involved with, I think he had a chance or he scored the game after. I can't remember whatever, but I think Cale Makar shot from the point and Taves is like down in front of the net doing some stuff. And it's just like, that's a defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as top 5, I think you've got Blake, you've got Bourque, you've got Foote, Ellis-Lynch, just because what he did offensively, and Makar, sorry. Makar already is on that list. I mean, it just depends on how far he goes with that. But I'm ready to put Taves in a list with those guys.
Wow.
Do you want to argue that?
No.
Were there any, who am I missing? Kurtzauer? No offense to Kurt Sauer, right?
Tyson Barrie,
I think about, because I think, remember, people were upset when they moved him.
I think they were. Some were. I mean,
were some people that are still mad about that move. But who would you rather have? Like, they couldn't afford both, he and Makar or whatever. Do you need both?
No.
You know?
I mean, you need... I mean, of course, the other one would be, and I think that I don't think he's top 5, but probably top 10 would be EJ.
Sure. Absolutely.
But
both ends of the ice. Yeah.
Yeah. Both ends of the ice. But, you know, I mean, there's the EJ that is and the EJ that could have been, you know, the concussions, you know, the knee, and that's not, you know, and so rather than spending all of his time battling back from injuries, to be able to have that body that, you know, that didn't suffer all of that. Yeah. I think we probably would have seen a slightly different EJ than we did. But yeah, I don't think I would put EJ in top five.
No,
but I probably would top 10.
Yeah. It's good to have him back though too.
Oh, it's a very different team in my opinion when we see him there than when he needs to be covered for. Yeah.
I think he's actually moving towards retire his number, but we can talk about that much, much later. But if he has maybe the rest of this year, I think how much does he have left on his contract too? I think we can check that, but, he's moving toward that direction. I mean, he's that kind of a leader and he's that kind of a player, but I'm ready to put Taves, you know, a couple seasons into his tenure here, on that list. I think that might be it for him. Not that anybody wants to see him go, but, yeah.
Where do you put Gerard?
I think Gerard might be top 10, right around in there too. I think we're running out of room on the top 10, right? But
little.
He's not quite as dynamic, and like no one can be quite as dynamic as Cale Makar, and he's not up in Devon Taves's. I think
overall, I think
neighborhood overall yet.
Yeah.
I think Gerard is limited by his size, and he does what he can. He can't do defensively what Taves can do defensively, and like even positionally, just because of his size, and that is what it is. And I think Gerard does all he can with his size and more. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes him so good.
I think that when I think about him and his size, the person that I think the most of is Martin St. Louis.
Yeah.
And you know, a guy that was obviously not a big guy. I think that he was, the times he looked more pad than muscle, but that would be not the case. I mean, And used his size to his advantage as much as much as possible. I still remember a game where he knocked Zdeno Chara on his keister.
Yeah,
you know, and he needed a stepladder to do it, but he did it. You know, he got him well. Gerard kind of reminds me of that, and I think that we look at Gerard before Makar got here versus after. And I don't think that we see a different player, but maybe we have a different perspective.
Sure. And a different role on the team, perhaps.
Maybe.
I mean, it's shifted just a little bit, right? But it seems like Gerard is super well loved. He and EJ have great chemistry. They talk about that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he accepts his role and he's great at it. And it makes his team even better. I mean,
he's excellent.
It's a combination. But as you talk about undersized guys that you know, perform and do the best with what they got. Pat Verbeek is another name that comes up for me. Then like Doug Flutie in the NFL, like you have guys that they know are limited by their size, but they do great anyway. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think Gerard's up there for sure. And I'm not trying to, you know, I guess talk bad about anybody else that's on the roster.
Can't believe
that
you would say all those things about him. And you know, disgusting.
Exactly. Exactly. But Taves has been unreal, and he's, you know, he's got less than 200. He's got like 190 NHL games played, and he's what, 27 or something. Like he's going to get better too. But I think him being paired with Makar has really amplified kind of all the great things that Devon Taves is already too. So it's a combination of a lot of stuff, as is team sports. That's how it works, right?
Well, it can be, that's the thing. Like,
well, that's true. It can be, or it can't be.
Yeah. I mean, are you the type of player that that's really good, or are you the type of player that's really good and makes the other people around you better?
Yep.
As there are plenty out there that don't make the players around them better.
Yeah.
And so far, Makar seems that way. I mean, we've talked about it before, pairing the offensive guy with the stay-at-home guy and things like that, who works well together. And so far there really hasn't been like have we really seen Makar paired up with somebody and gone, this is the wrong pairing?
No,
but like, you'll see that with others sometimes, yeah. You know, like does this guy work with this guy? But so far I really haven't looked at him and thought, guy doesn't really match up.
Think about the first 9 games of the season where Taves was out. And what that Makar looked like as compared to what this Makar looks like. Yeah. And probably the difference in mindset for Makar, where Makar knows he can go wherever he needs to because he's got someone super solid back there, mm-hmm. that will positionally, make the play that needs to be made in order to keep the opposition either out of the zone or off the board.
Which is, and the guy that we used to talk about a lot with that was Tyson Barry.
Absolutely.
And maybe that was a little bit of his downfall or why he became more expendable was because finding that right person to pair him up with was a little more critical.
It was. So I don't know. So I don't know, credit to Joe Sakic for, I guess seeing this and making it happen. Like mm-hmm. Taves is what, $4 million a year or something like that.
Yep.
It's
4.1.
It's a steal, yep. Man. That's that for what he's doing right now and the numbers that he's putting up, because I think they're either very similar or just about the same points per game, he and Cale Makar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you can say like, oh, he does the things on the defensive end, so Makar can join plays whenever he feels like it. But he's doing all that plus picking up offensive stuff, including the game winner on January 8th. So that's the second hot take. I don't know if I have any more hot takes, but you never know when one might show up.
I'm anticipating it. I'm strapped in. I'm leaving the seatbelt on.
Okay. I think that's fair. That's fair to do. So, yeah. So that's my Devon Taves love. That's my official appreciation.
Amazing.
Oh, I also picked up his goal puck from Ottawa when they tied the game up late. I'll do a blog post about that because goal pucks are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good goal too. All right. So let's get into the players being named NHL first stars and then going out with COVID. Gabriel Landeskog, first star of the week, announced on January 10th. He had 4 goals and 3 assists and 3 games played. That's good. Those are good numbers. And then also on January 10th, it was announced that Gabriel Landeskog was on the COVID list again, and he was out for the next 3 games. So,
yeah.
I'm noticing with Landeskog, this team didn't used to count on his presence as much as they do now. Does that make sense? When he's out, this team looks very different. When McKinnon goes out, it's one feel. When Landeskog goes out, maybe it was just the stretch or whatever. But when Landeskog go out, it seems like the Avs are missing more. Mm. I think that makes sense,
It hasn't been as often that he's been out. As McKinnon. McKinnon, seemed bit by the injury bug a bit more.
Right.
So maybe they're just not as used to it. And maybe that's, maybe that's part of having your captain around versus not. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just things I think about and kind of, the Avs look pretty flat against the Kraken on January 10th. They were down 3-1 and they came back 4-3 against Philip Grubauer. That was their 5th straight comeback win. But it just seems like they're missing a certain, energy, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then it looked the same against both. Well, actually not the last night's Coyotes game, but that the first Coyotes game. Yeah. They're a little flat. They're missing something. So I don't know. I just thought about that.
Yeah. And Seattle's doing pretty terrible right now.
They are. But the Avs did, it's an NHL game. We were talking about this before. It's an NHL game. You got to play the game. These are proud teams that are not going to pack it in against one of the best teams in the league.
And you got a motivated goalie in Grubauer.
Absolutely.
Wanting to show that he was,
they should have paid him.
Still the guy.
Yeah. And he played.
Going to pay him.
Someone's going to pay him. Yeah. We got all-star stuff too. Jared Bednar was named the head coach of the Central Division all-star team on the 11th. So, congratulations to him.
Yeah.
He's the first Avs coach to be named a head coach for an all-star game. I'm trying to remember how they named head coaches like back in whenever, but I don't know. So good for him.
He still won't be a coach of the year candidate.
You still riding that?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Look, coach of the year is like being on The Voice or America's Got Talent. If you don't have adversity, you're not going to get anywhere. If they need the adversity story, and you got to coach yourself out of that.
Have I told you about my promo for like Who's Got Talent or whatever, like, or The Voice, like, you know, they have this sad music and they cut to the video and, you know, I got cancer and then my dog got cancer and then my house got cancer. And you're totally right. Like, just cracks me up. You're done.
I'm just saying I'm not going to argue.
Yeah. I'm not arguing with you. No. You put that, I don't know, you put that lineup in front of a lot of coaches, they're going to look pretty good.
Yeah.
But either way, congratulations to him for sure.
Like, if there isn't, there's hardly a coach that would lose with that kind of top line. If they do, then they absolutely don't want to be there.
That's, okay. Well, let me segue this then. Let's talk about goaltending and Darcy Kemper.
Okay.
And I know this was, I know this was something you want to talk about because you show me a good lineup, I'll show you a good coach.
Sometimes
it goes the other way. Show me a good goaltender, I'll show you a good coach. So this is, it's a thing, right? And was this an article that you?
Yeah. Larry Brooks of the New York Post, he does his weekly, hockey thoughts kind of column. And, this is what Larry Brooks said. Someone is going to have to explain how the Avalanche can be taken seriously as Stanley Cup contenders when they rank 29th overall in save percentage at 892, surrounded in that category by teams from Seattle, New Jersey, Arizona, Ottawa, and Montreal, not one of which is even in the hunt for the playoffs. And I gotta say, I agree.
He's not wrong. Yeah.
He ain't wrong. I mean, there's the numbers don't lie, and then there's the perception.
Yeah.
When I look at it, is this a playoff ready team? Not with that kind of goaltending, not with that kind of number for goaltending, because this is the big deal. When you get to the playoffs, you're not going to be facing Vancouver. You're not going to be facing Arizona. You're not going to be facing Seattle and Ottawa. You know, people are giving away points for Christmas presents.
Yep.
You're going to be up against some pretty gnarly teams, and game in and game out, they're going to be preparing for you and you alone. They're going to look at your weaknesses. They're going to look at your strengths. That you're doing the same thing, but that's a weakness. Yep. And the numbers, you know, we've talked about numbers before. You know, there's numbers like plus minus that you can't really put in a microcosm. You have to, it's a big thing. You know, you zoom out on that number. This is a number that is extremely important.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can look at the 7-1s and all of that, you're not going to score 7 goals every game against St. Louis or Minnesota.
If you do, it's guaranteed it's not happening in the next game. It may happen once, but that's not going to happen again.
And if there's anything that's borne that out, it's been the past of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, when the number ones went down, when the number two goaltender goes down, that you cannot survive off of subpar goaltending. And, you know, this team had subpar goaltending for a long time this season.
Yeah.
And Francois the other day, I mean, it was like, wow. Finally, we have a goalie controversy. We needed one.
The penalty. If
Darcy Kemper was doing as mediocre a job as he was doing, and Francois comes in, and we look like we have a goalie controversy, then I like that problem.
Yeah.
Big time. The
penalty, the worries on the penalty kill is another thing that has come up a lot. And who is your best penalty killer? Who needs to be your best penalty killer?
Mm-hmm.
That's your goaltender. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing as the Avs, you know, they'll score a lot of goals. We got that, but you can't, if you could rely on that, you'd see some different looking teams in the NHL. That's for sure. It's
absolutely
way, way more money getting firepower up front than they would trying to get a good goaltender. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing to watch this play out and see if there might be some games where Darcy Kemper and or Pavel Francouz just steal them. Right. Cause I don't think I can't think of any games where it's just like, wow, without Kemper or without Johansson or without Francouz, we wouldn't have won that game.
Agreed.
Like, there hasn't been very many of those, if any, you know?
I mean, I put it in the notes and I'm, you know, I don't know where we stand as far as picks and prospects and all of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe when we get pretty close, trade for Marc-Andre Fleury.
That is something I've heard.
I mean, why not? The guy's not going to go to the playoffs.
If there's room.
And he's a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a $7 million cap hit.
Right.
So that's not cheap. Yeah. Nobody's going to be happy going the other direction. That's for sure. But you throw a couple of picks,
Who knows, and
you pick up Fleury. That would be pretty damn nice.
Knowing that the Blackhawks don't have a ton of leverage there, right?
The only leverage that not to re-sign him, that's for darn sure.
Right. There's those points during the season and when these conversations start to come up, and there's really no gray area when it comes to when people bring up a move like that. Mm-hmm. Like, well, let's make a move for Fleury. And so you'll have the camp that'll be like, what, are you nuts? Or like, oh, that would kind of make sense. And it seemed, I would imagine most people would be like, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. not just because you can pick up a goaltender that might be a little bit better than what you have, but that can make a big difference. You've got a Stanley Cup tested goaltender who knows what it takes to win in the playoffs, who is super skilled, unless Cale Makar's all alone in front. Then nobody's stopping that, but still.
or frankly, Austin Matthews, the blowout game against.
Nobody's stopping that.
And there's going to be those games, but they're at 34, 35 games into the season.
Yeah.
This is not a small sample size.
Nope.
That's not great. That's not great at all.
Something to keep our eye on for sure.
So right now, looking at the stats for off of the Avs site, Darcy Kemper has a .908 save percentage, and Francois has an .895.
What's Kemper's record again? It's something awesome.
Oh, it's 17-5 and one.
Those numbers don't belong together, right? I mean, that's the thing. Yeah,
I mean, .908 isn't terrible.
Yeah.
But we constantly hear things about the and obviously if he's at .908. And Francois is at 895, and the average is 892. Well, then obviously Johansson and whatever else was happening brought him down too.
I was thinking about that too. Yeah.
So that isn't entirely a fair number for right now. If you, I can't honestly do the math in my head or anything like that because it's like Kemper has 25 games, Francois has 4. If with that kind of average, you're probably looking at a 905, 904.
Yep.
That's still not great.
That'll win you some games. Yeah. It'll win you some games, but
not enough.
Yeah.
And that's get all, and I've kind of gone far enough into the analytics and all that, which, the base analytics, but the goal differential, which we talk about a lot right now, Avs are second in goal differential right now. They would be fourth if it weren't for the Coyotes 5-0 game from last night. And the only ones with better goal differential right now is Florida. But when it comes to the playoffs, a little bit different story in differentials.
Definitely.
So, we'll
keep an eye on it for sure. But it's,
and I kind of wish I could go back and look at goal differentials for the playoffs, but I can't.
The goaltending is going to need to be better overall. And I think the goaltenders know that, and the team knows that, and it's going to be interesting to watch this play out.
Yeah, I think that if I were looking at goal differential, I would say that the President's Trophy winning last year, Avalanche, had a goal differential of plus 64,
okay,
and they still did not make it out of the second round. So obviously things aren't. Yeah, that's not everything.
Yeah. And I think it's tough with the salary cap to put together a team that has everything,
it is.
It's really difficult, and maybe it should be that way. Right. But it's tough to be able to,
unless you're Tampa Bay and then you can ask, and then you can just keep them out on the outside until
there you go.
Just say,
I'm just saying. Hashtag just saying.
So. Hashtag.
That's right. All right. Okay. Let's.
I derailed us a little bit from the All-Star talk. We should
talk about
Kadri and all of that. And
yeah, we can do. Let's do that, and then we'll go back to too many men on the ice as well. Yeah. So Gabriel Landis, no, but Gabriel Landeskog, they're not even talking about him for the All-Star game, are they? No. And Mikko Rantanen either, which is, you know, hey, if you're going to put the best players in the division on the All-Star team, the Avalanche should have like five or six guys on there. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to happen. And that's where the All-Star game is just kind of goofy. So Nathan MacKinnon is named captain, and Cale Makar is named to the team. Like, no shock to any of us. But the Avs are going to have to get Nazem Kadri voted onto the game. In the meantime, they're leaving all kinds of good guys out. Nathan MacKinnon comes out and, you know, says that the setup is silly and they shouldn't try and have one guy from every team on the team and stuff like that. And it's drama that really doesn't need to be there. A lot of hype. The NHL likes that, though. They like that. And Kadri should be on the All-Star team. And I don't think there's anybody that would argue with that, but it just seems like it's going to be a process to get him on there. And
I don't think that, here's my take on it. I think that Nathan MacKinnon is looking at it from such a player-centric kind of view.
Oh, sure.
That he's missing the point of the All-Star game. The All-Star game has nothing to do with the players and has nothing to do with the fans. It has to do with the corporate sponsorships.
That's right.
And it sucks.
I'm just saying it.
There's a reason that every single little bit is sponsored. There's a reason. Yeah. They'll talk to the players, but you know, it is about bringing in the sponsors. And if you leave the Arizona Coyotes out, you're going to hurt the Arizona Coyotes business.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
I wish it were otherwise.
Yeah. You need fans interested from every team to whatever. And that's, it is unfortunate, and it leads to these goofy things. So,
and I don't think that Kadri's going to get in anyways. I mean, I don't, it's good thing that it's a fan vote, but I think that he's had enough controversy over the years that he's not going to get voted in. I don't think that he's anybody's favorite.
Nope.
As far as that's concerned.
And he's having an amazing season.
He's having an amazing season. The goal last night in that Arizona goal looked so smooth.
And I love the lack of he didn't respond at all. He was just like, yeah, I did that. Like, that's pretty easy, you know? Yeah. And his shootout winner the game before, like, kind of similar moves, right? But no problem. I got that.
And it's going to take a lot for him to leave behind.
Yeah.
Some of the maturity issues that were there before.
It's easier when you're on a team that's winning and when you're playing well. Yeah. I find getting over maturity issues is much, much simpler that way. So I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if some of the players would rather have a little time off rather than go to the corporate profit show.
That's always kind of been that thing where like Ovechkin wouldn't go because he wanted the time for the regular season. Because that's part of his job. That's a big part of his job.
Go for it. You're 64 years old. You know, do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the All-Star controversy. Speaking of controversy.
Controversy.
The Avs lose a rare game that was in Nashville as well. So, the Avs lose 5-4 in overtime against the Predators. There's a too many men call that got everybody really fired up. Were you able to see this play? Two of them. Yeah, there was two. There was two.
The one in overtime and the one that was not in overtime. Yeah.
Really, really interesting choice. And you all know us. You followed us. For those of you that have been around for a while, like we're not going to get fired up about a whole lot of this, but it was weird. Like it was just, you know, you could actually, you watch the video and it is what it is. And MacKinnon comes off, Rantanen comes on. Rantanen actually hesitates playing the puck, knowing that it could be in too many men play. Rantanen then starts with the puck and he's going literally towards his own net. So there's really no advantage to be gained by what happened. Mm. And all of a sudden the play's blown dead. And, you know, Mark Rycroft is going crazy and, you know, which sets the fans off as well. But yeah, it was an interesting call and an interesting time. And you don't see that in hockey very often. Usually it's put the whistle away, especially during overtime.
Yeah. It's that it was the second too many men on the ice call for, you know, in a row.
Yeah.
That's a tough pill to swallow. And it does make you wonder like, okay, so is there something here to this? What is the deal?
All kinds of interesting theories on this one. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's a hard one because we don't often get the zoomed out view,
right?
Until it's slowed down and all of those kinds of things. I felt suspect to me, and that I don't usually go there, but it felt suspect to me.
Yeah, it just seemed like something was missed or something was misinterpreted by the official, and you just like a little further explanation, mm-hmm. I guess, right? And one of the explanations was there was a linesman that had jumped onto the bench to try and dodge the puck that was coming that way, and the puck hit the linesman. And some people were thinking maybe the referee mistook the linesman for another player or something like that. I don't know.
Well,
like,
usually too many men on the ice is called by a linesman. So you kind of wonder about that. Why, you know, what were they seeing? Where were they? Yeah. So
the official was also like right along the boards. So there was kind of a, he wasn't able to see the whole play either. I don't know. I'm not fired up about it one way or another, but man, it was, people were, and I get it. But we'd never expect the officials to be perfect anyway. It was a tough call in a tough situation. And then, you know, it never helps when Matt Duchene scores a game winner against your own team.
Yeah.
There's that too. Nobody wants left that.
That was the bitterest of pills.
Nobody wants that at all. So that's what it was. I'll put a link to that video too. You make your own decisions and, you know, do what you need to do to feel better about that. But the Avs did get a point, and points on the road within the division are good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bo Byram left the team just before this game. It was initially said that he left for personal reasons. Then it was later said that he is still suffering. He's still not feeling right from the concussion or two that he's had so far this season. So that makes me worry. Bo Byram, when he's in the lineup, gives the lineup even that much more depth. But, I'm not expecting to see him really anytime soon. I worry about his future, and it's kind of like EJ when EJ goes into corners right now. I worry about him hitting his head or getting hit, because we know where that can take him. But Byram is dealing with this way earlier in his career. This team's so much, I guess they're good already, but they're good. They're even better with him in the lineup. And, I don't know. Makes me worried about his future.
He's got a certain shoot first mentality right now that I think he kind of maybe needs to get burned out a little bit. Or just, you know, he needs it's hard to criticize his game right now because he is, because of this.
Yeah.
But I would say that if he expanded his vision a little, especially, you know, and that's just time. That's getting used to the league. Yeah. This kind of league and that's this experience kind of speed too. And all that.
Yeah. You know, he hasn't played very much in the NHL, you know, but man, you can see a bright future for him if he can stay healthy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we obviously pass along our best, and hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he's back sooner than later.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised if he was back sooner than later. He needs some time to heal up, however that looks. So there we go.
All right.
And I think that's pretty much almost everything Avalanche.
Oh my goodness. There was the two Coyotes games, but I think we've talked about that so many times in between. Yep. Yeah. No, we're good. I think we're good.
I mean, that's a quick rundown. We don't usually go chronologically, but there's a lot to talk about. This stretch had everything. So do we want to go spiel then shout outs or shout outs then spiel?
It's going to be a short spiel. It's going to be a real short spiel.
Why don't you do the short spiel then?
All right. You can find everything Avs Hockey Podcast at avshockeypodcast.com. It also helps if you spell it right, which I didn't spell it right when I just plugged into my browser.
That'll take you to a different. So step one, spell it correctly.
Yeah. Don't Google image search Avs Hockey Podcast. Nah, it's fine.
It's not going to be
fine. We're fine. Gosh, there's so much stuff there. You know, like our podcast and all that and things and stuff. And you can go there and see.
I pinned the latest episode on the top, which I will with this one. Okay. But then I've been writing about pucks too. So those are underneath, but I don't want our show to get buried. So there's a happy in between.
I don't know why. Wow. The style sheet doesn't seem to be loading. So I'll have to look at that. But anyways, if you want to see a very unstyled, a website that looks
you're in luck.
Yeah. You want to see basically the Craigslist of Avs podcasts.
Did I break something?
I don't know. Maybe I'll look at it.
It's been looking funky on my phone too, but we'll figure that out. Cause that's what we do.
Nah, it looks like Craigslist right now. It's pretty nice. It's fun. You might, yeah. So go to AvsHockeyPodcast.com and see all the stuff. And find Jay on all the socials at Avs Podcast, and me on none of the socials, because forget that.
There we go.
There you go.
We know our roles. That's just spiel.
Shout-outs.
Shout-outs. We want to send our best to, I don't know if Bob listens to the show, but Bob in Boulder, he and his family lost their home in the fire a couple weeks ago. So he kind of announced that on Twitter and was talking about some of the challenges, but we as a community reach out to him and give him that good energy. Can't imagine what everybody up there is going through. That was just a crazy night. You know, very few people lost, which is what's most important, but that doesn't make things any easier right now. So yeah. shout out to him.
I didn't know about it until you mentioned it in the notes. So yeah.
Yeah. So he's big on Avs Twitter psychic, and I've always appreciated that. His style is he does it in Clue. He does his picks in Clue. So he's got Mikko Rantanen in the bedroom with the wrench. So, we're thinking of you, Bob. And I don't know whether you'll hear this or not, but everybody, you know, if you could just take a second, think about his family, I know it'd be appreciated in the universe and energy. So there we go. And also shout out to everybody who keeps Avs Twitter Psychic going. You can find that on at Avs Psychic on Twitter. And it's our fun goal game, and it's all about us. So yeah. James is going to add on to that here in a second.
Oh, yeah. And also shout out to Paul Kukla of Kukla's Corner. Long time blogger. Paul's site got hacked, and he had to do a donation drive to kind of get it unhacked. And, it's one of all the sites I've been going to since I started blogging and all of that. His is the one that's been constant. It's always been there.
Those are the links you send me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the place I keep tabs on the entire league on. So
that's cool.
If you get a chance, go to Kukla's Corner. That's KUKLA, and then corner spelled with a K. Shout out to Paul. He's getting his site back up and running better. And then just last thing, you know, shout out to everyone who listens. Jay and I were talking about this before the show, that, you know, our show, it's not for everyone. We're not for everyone. We don't want to do everyone else's style of show. We just have a good time. We've been doing it for a long time. And if you have been listening for a long time, or for one show, or whatnot, and we are your thing, hey, thanks for being there. We have a great time, and I can't imagine doing it with anybody other than Jay. So thanks for tagging along. We're glad we're here for you, and we're glad that you're here for it.
Yep. That's all. Right back at you, partner. And I think it's pretty obvious whether it's our, you know, my social media. I'm always speaking for us on social media, and I always keep that in mind. We have our own style, and we do our own thing, and we like it that way. Mm-hmm. So, and we appreciate you for staying with us. You know, this is the 15th year I've done this myself, and we've been doing it for well the majority of that time together. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't do it with anybody else either. And
there's a lot of podcasts of Avs podcasts out there right now. Yeah. If we're not for you, that's awesome. There is somebody who is. And if we are for you, glad to have you around.
Yep. We appreciate it. And probably the biggest complaint is we don't do this often enough, and we'd like to do it way more often. Well, yeah, a fair amount more often too, but
moderately also, more often.
Yeah. We also work moderately more often. Yes. We work, we have lives, we have, you know, there's a lot going on. So we do what we can. And thank you for appreciating us for who we are.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like I said, that's pretty much almost everything Avalanche.
That's
so
a show.
I think that is, that's a show and a half right there.
It pretty much is. Yeah. That's a long one. Yeah. If you stuck with it this long, thanks.
Well, we're sticking around for the hot takes. We had all kinds of hot takes in here, man, from, you know, Devon Taves to, you know, this guy's good at hockey to maybe a new goaltender. I mean, we're just throwing just awesome stuff.
Just saying.
All right. Virtual fist bump, partner.
Virtual fist bump. Touch the Kim chicken.
Kim chicken touched.
There you go.
Yes. All right. So, all right. For James Tate by Gralian, I'm Jay Veen. Take care. Go Avs, go. And we'll talk to you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya. No, he hasn't played since 18-19. Is that different, Hunwick? What's going on?
Yeah. Since when?
He hasn't played since 18-19. He played 14 games for the Sabres.
18-19.
Yeah.
18. Oh, I was thinking of the year 18-19.
That's longevity.